Welcome, everybody, to the Hammer and Rails podcast. I'm coming to you from Lafayette, and I'm your host, Andrew Ledman.
And I'm Casey Bartley.
And we are here to recap the game against Butler, the final game in the Crossroads Classic, and then we're going to take a look ahead to Purdue's next game, which will be the day this comes out, Monday, against Incarnate Word. So a lot of basketball action, but we're going to start with some football news. Casey, we touched on this, I think, 2 weeks ago on the podcast when we were talking about players opting out of bowl games. We assumed that George Karlaftis and David Bell would make this decision, and it has been announced. Neither of them will play in the bowl game. Casey, were you surprised at all by that announcement?
Not particularly, but let's rewind it a second. You're in Lafayette. You had a hypothetical for me. What, you know, food I look forward to with Lafayette. You're in Lafayette right now.
I am.
What food did you grab? What's happening in Lafayette right now?
Every meal but one has been home cooked because we've been here for Christmas. So, you know, all my brothers were here. But for dinner, since we really didn't need a full meal because we were eating all day, we had some Mad Mushroom cheese sticks for dinner. So my wife and I were very happy with that.
I don't get it.
Yeah, I know you don't.
And it's not even
again, mad. We've established you have terrible food opinions, so I don't know why I'm coming to you in this my hour of need.
So it's two things. Mad Mushroom's like fine, whatever. The second thing though, I don't get cheese bread because it's just like pizza
again,
without sauce.
Again, another terrible opinion.
It's just pizza without sauce, and how is that better?
Well, how are you this level of Waffle House fat leet if you don't like all of these foods?
Because I know what good food is.
I just don't think that you do.
I just don't. How is it better than pizza?
No, it's not better than pizza. Okay. It's an alternative. They're different foods. That's like saying, is tacos better than pizza? No, they're not the same. They're different.
Okay, it's not the same because the only difference is like one ingredient.
I mean, one ingredient can make a big difference.
Yeah,
Take cheese off of pizza. Would you eat it?
Right, no one does that. I mean, I guess you could say that's why bruschetta is.
Yeah, and bruschetta is not good.
What? And not I have good. Awful food taste?
Yeah, I don't need
a... Man, I hope you get dragged for this. Bruschetta is like top tier appetizer.
No, I don't need a crunchy piece of bread with terrible tomatoes on it.
Terrible?
I just don't.
Flavored tomatoes?
No.
With
no, I just
like
don't
garlic
need it.
And roasted down?
Mm. No. I don't need it. Okay, I don't need that on my podcast either.
No, I wasn't surprised that Karlaftis and Bell were not playing because they're really good and they're going to be in the NFL and bowl games are dumb.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you watched any of the NFL today, you saw, you know, multiple players get carted off the field because of one random thing that happens in a game. Players get rolled up on. Players, you know, get hit from a blind side they don't see coming. They're injured. They may be out two or three games, may get a concussion. Like you said a couple weeks ago, Bell already has one concussion on the season, and you certainly don't want to rack those up if you're getting ready to get drafted. So I wasn't surprised either. It does suck, you know, as a Purdue fan, you really would love to see them play, but from their perspective, it makes perfect sense, and it's ultimately the right decision for them. You know, as fans, we are selfish. We want to see our favorite players and our best players play, but ultimately, they had nothing to gain and everything to lose.
Yeah, it's literally one of those, don't blame the player, blame the game.
Yeah, I mean, the system is wrong. It's broken. There are too many bowl games. They mean nothing. And ultimately, they're just cash grabs for these corporations and the bowl sponsors and, you know, everything else who gets money while the players get, like, a goodie bag that has, like, a Nintendo Switch and, like, a towel with the bowl logo on it. So I don't think they're going to be missing too much. I assume they may still travel with the team, you know. They may go with them for just for the experience. But it's... I don't see it as a bad thing for them. You know, it's the right decision. Purdue obviously will miss them, and Purdue obviously won't be as good without them on the field. But ultimately, like I said, it's the right decision for them, so I got to respect it. And in addition to both Karlaftis and Bell, it was announced this week that Xander Horvath will be playing in the Hula Bowl, which is on January 15th, and he will not be returning for the 2022 season. So they're still saying that he is expected to play in the bowl game. However, you know, that could change, but he's going to the Hula Bowl, and then apparently he either will try for the NFL or he will simply be, you know, graduating Purdue and done with football. I'm not sure which route he's going there, but I know he will not be returning for the 2022 season. So that just takes one more guy off the board for next season, especially with a position that really was decimated this year with injuries, the running back position. So we do know we will not have Horvath for next year.
Okay. What is a Hula Bowl?
It's basically just like a senior bowl. Like they invite players and they put together teams. I don't watch it because, again, it's just a glorified scrimmage more or less. I don't particularly care about it.
So, but it's in Hawaii.
No, you would think. It is in Orlando.
Oh, way less cool.
Yeah, you would think the Hula Bowl would be in Hawaii, but this says it's in Orlando, Florida, 2022.
You know, it'd be cool if it was in, like, Hoopston, Illinois. Because then it'd be the Hula Hoopston Bowl.
Yeah, there you go. So apparently, I'm guessing, based on their Twitter account, because it does, their Instagram is Hula Bowl Hawaii, which they have linked on their Twitter account.
Why?
I'm assuming it's some pandemic-related restrictions, so they're having it in Orlando this year. So that is weird, but, you know, they'll put together this game. Like, they invite teams, players from all over the country and put it together, but I don't watch it because, again, I just don't care. So that's what we know about football. And enough of that. We'll have more as we preview the bowl game next week. So I want to talk about Purdue's dominating performance over Butler in the Crossroads Classic, the last ever Crossroads Classic, unless it's revived years later down the road. Because teams like Notre Dame and IU are trying to build a more national schedule, which is why Indiana has only played out of the state of Indiana twice so far this entire season. So clearly they're working on the national brand, and Purdue and Butler are really holding them back. So Purdue finishes the Crossroads with a losing record, but that's okay. We won this one 77-48, just in dominating fashion. Jaden Ivey seemed like the player of the game to me. I mean, absolutely dominant on offense, 6 of 6 from three, 2 for 2 at the line, total of 22 points, including a couple of nifty little dunks. Casey, what stood out to you in that game?
I know you want to say he's the MVP, but guess who had the highest plus minus of the game?
Trevion?
Nope.
No? Let me look. Hold on.
You're not allowed to look.
No. I'm looking at, like, just other stats. I don't have the plus minus in front of me.
All right.
Maybe Edie?
Nope.
Isaiah Thompson.
Nope.
Okay, I'm out. I'm just going to make me name every player.
Yeah, Sasha Stefanovic.
Really?
He's always a sneaky plus-minus guy. Well, not even sneaky. It's just our offense runs better when he's on the floor.
Yeah, and he looked good.
He looked really good. He looked really good not just shooting the ball. Like, did really good catching the ball, getting into traffic, always being on the move. 3 assists, leads the team again. But yeah, just the amount of attention and gravity that he pulls on the offensive court usually means our best lineups are when he's on the floor. But Ivy was definitely the best player. You can't be that good at everything and go 6 of 6 from three, which is apparently his weakness. But at this point, he's shooting 46% from three on the year. That 6 for 6 really helps, but he's been shooting the ball with a lot of confidence. We saw him make a variety of threes. Catch and shoot, step back, double crossover, pull-ups. Just if he's got this in the tank and all of a sudden he's going to be this confident with a jump shot, rut-row.
Yeah, I mean, you've talked about throughout this entire season that the guard play for Purdue is really what's let them down in the past and really what, if you want to go far in the NCAA tournament, that's what you need is dominant guard play. And Jaden Ivey gives Purdue that when he's playing like this. I mean, you pointed out that the three-point shooting has been his weakness, you know, in quotes, which is greatly improved from last year. But, I mean, 6 of 6 from three, he just looked incredible in all facets of the game. And if he continues to have games like this, I'm not sure who can keep up with him.
Yeah, not the one thing you can still kind of – I don't love his handle still, and he kind of – his body moves faster than his dribble a lot of times.
He's very confident in what he can do, and he sees three guys in front of him and says, I can get around him.
Right. And body-wise, yeah, he can change direction at a whim. It's just sometimes the ball doesn't get there with him, and you've seen him a couple times just fall over and lose the ball because, you know, yeah, he can get there, but some part of his body is going to collide into the people around him. But it's very encouraging to see him shoot like that because he's able to get to the hoop and be dynamic the way he is without people respecting his jumper. If they have to start coming out on him, ball game's over.
Yeah, and I mean, he had 3 turnovers. Purdue only had 10 on the game, so he led the team in turnovers. But I think you can live with that when he also scores 22, grabs 5 rebounds, and like I said, 6 of 6 from 3. He just looked great. We'd obviously love to cut those turnovers down, but like I said, hard to argue with his performance. He just looked great out there, and he's obviously the best guard on Purdue and one of the best guards in the nation, and we need that guard play to carry us through a tough Big Ten season that we've got ahead of us.
Yeah, and Isaiah Thompson was a lot better today. Yes, I'll give him some credit. He was looking for his shot, which we need him to do. We drew up a couple plays for him. He drove the ball a couple times inside, didn't make it, which you don't really expect him to, but you need him to be some kind of threat. But we also got, we had a lineup change. It was Edie.
We did, just as we predicted.
Edie going to the bench, Williams stepping in the starting lineup, and Edie was great off the bench. 6 of 8, 14 points, 11 rebounds, 2 blocks, played a perfect 20 minutes, plus minus, plus 23. He was great. Trey had a quiet game.
Well, he was in foul trouble. He was in foul trouble for a lot of the game. Two early in the first, and then he got a third early in the second half, and then of course that fourth one. And then you're just kind of wondering, is Painter going to keep him in there? I mean, the game was obviously not in doubt at that point, but do you want to leave him in there just to see how he plays in those situations? Because invariably he will have a game where he gets in foul trouble, and you want him to be able to play smart and understand the situation. So you could kind of look at it as preparation for a game when that does happen.
Yeah, but I'm not even worried about that because I'm pretty sure, especially that fourth foul, even the third foul a little bit, those aren't fouls he makes, I don't think, if it's not a blowout already. He's got, sometimes people are so good that players are so good that they literally know when they have to turn it on or turn it off. And we see him go through stretches where 4 to 5 minutes, he's not looking to score. He doesn't really care. He's going to do what he can to create space for other people, rebound the ball well. We saw him dominate the offensive glass to start the game. Our offense to start the game was Ivy missing at the rim and Williams cleaning it up. But Edie came in and was dominant. Purdue jumped out to a big lead. And Trey is perfectly happy to do the stuff, the small things around scoring, facilitating for others, grabbing rebounds, setting good screens. He doesn't need to score. And you kind of see just like halfway through that second half after Edie just played for a long stretch, Williams like, I guess I should score somewhere close to like double digits.
Right.
So he decided, all right, these 2 times I'll take it. And he scored. He was 5 of 6 from the field. Like it's crazy how much control he has on a basketball court.
Well, one of those buckets was he got the ball beyond the 3-point line and just basically decided, I'm just going to take my man off the dribble and I'm going to get an easy basket near the hoop. Took a couple dribbles, did some, like a quick move, got around his guy, easy bucket, and just went down the other side of the court. Didn't even look like he really tried that hard. It was just there for him because he's that much better than the guy that was guarding him, and he knew it. And he just decided, I'm going to take this one. And then the next trip down, he was probably like, I'll just pass it to somebody else.
But yeah, he's such a threat at every level all of a sudden. Like, he was pretty athletic for as big as he was last season and his whole career. But that short burst quickness he has now, especially that crossover baseline, that's kind of a new thing that he deploys, that he can deploy in the perimeter and in the post. And it is. His game is just all about control. He sees everything before the defense does. He knows where the ball needs to be. He knows what he needs to do. And I'm gonna keep harping on this all season. He controls the game like a guard at center. And that is such a rare thing. And
now, wait. What exactly do you mean by that?
First of all, I mean, he can play the perimeter and he can pass like a guard. But the biggest thing he can do as a big man that most big men can't, he can catch the ball where he's not in a threatening position and get himself into a position where he compromises the defense.
Gotcha.
Without any help. He can dribble from the perimeter, get down into the post if they deny him in the post. He can just anywhere on the floor, he's dangerous because he can get to his spots. That's normally what you think of. That's what excites you about Ivy. He can get to the rim. He can get to his jumper. He can get to places. Most big guys, you're like, if you do your work early and keep them out of their spots, they're not going to harm you. We see that with Edie. When Edie gets shut down, it's because teams are doubling him and they push him a little further out than he's comfortable. Yeah. Where is Trey not comfortable on the court?
Yeah, that, I mean, that's a good question. He's even, you know, his three-point shooting is not great, but he's shown you that he can at least make that shot. And he's not afraid to take it either. I mean, he took one in this game. He missed it, but it's not like it was a terrible shot. He's truly improved in every facet of his offensive game. And, of course, he's still such a great passer that if you do try to run out at him and throw a second defender at him, he's going to find the open man no matter where on the court that guy is.
And with the way that he can handle the ball and move, the most – you're not – even a big man that can pass out of a double team doesn't super terrify you sometimes. That's why you see teams double still. Like, let him beat it that way because at least someone else still has to do something to beat us. He's quick enough that he can beat the double on his own. And if he does that, your defense has no chance. And these are just kind of things that you don't normally – you see rarely with big men, which is why I am still so optimistic about what this team can do, especially in March, because he is a mismatch everywhere and can make you pay at every level. And I think it's just so rare to see, and it's a reason why we have two guys in KenPom who are in the top 10 national players of the year. And – he just had 10 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists.
6 boards.
6 rebounds, yeah, 2 assists, 18 minutes of play. Just that stat line doesn't read crazy, but the efficiency of that when you pull it out to 40 minutes and then just the way you feel that he just dominates every possession that he's on the floor. There's not many guys that can do it like that, and he deserved to start. He played well to start the game, so it's good to see. And just you match him with – we haven't even talked about Edie. Edie was great.
Oh, yeah.
Edie was dominant. And this is what we can offer that other teams just – how do you match up with that?
Yeah, I mean, we got a 7-foot-4 guy now coming off the bench, finished with 14 and 11 on 6 of 8 shooting, and hit both of his free throws, which when you're 7-foot-4, that's quite an accomplishment.
Got some help because he missed the first one. But
well, yeah, but hey
– lane violation.
Technically, that free throw never happened, so
it's true.
He didn't miss it.
Yeah, it's just – you know, we had a dry little spell there for a little while where Trey was out, Ivy was out, and Sasha were out all at the same time. And I hope we never have to see that again. I know Coach Painter is trying to figure these rotations out, but if he's going to rely on that to play even 2 minutes a game, I am going to pull my hair out. Because that is just taking every playmaker we have on the roster off the floor at the same time, and I don't think that's doing us any favors. Also, Caleb First play better again. Very encouraging. And I don't think it's an accident that that's partially happening because when he starts with Trey, he gets more minutes with Trey.
Yeah, I was just about to ask. I was going to bring this up because you mentioned this in the group chat numerous times, and I think you mentioned it on the pod as well. You pointed out that you think Caleb First and Trevion Williams being on the floor at the same time is best for Caleb First. And I wondered if you could expand on why you think that is.
Yeah, it's a combination of I love First size and his ability to move. It makes him such a dangerous weapon inside cutting. And we saw that, you know, I think he had 3 dunks, all of them on dump offs from other people where he just cut hard, got to where he needed to be. He was found and he was able to throw it down. That is just, that's not something that Mason Gillis does naturally. And that's not something that Edie's normally going to take advantage of because he's not a great passer. So you maximize that when you bring someone like Trey Williams who draws all that attention and who's a great passer. And First just, he was the guy in high school. He wants to score. He knows how to score. And he's the rare kind of guy that knows how to score with the ball in his hand and when it's not in his hand. So when he can bring that kind of IQ, speed, and length, he's just so dangerous. And when you can match him up with a big that knows how to take advantage of that, that is the way you maximize someone like First who's still not his offensive game. He's going to eventually be able to score all 3 levels consistently on his own. Right now, though, you know, that's he needs a little time to get adjusted to college ball, to learn how to be effective at other things at this level. But for right now, as a cutter, as a guy who just gets in the right spots, hits an open jumper when he has them, he's just perfect to play next to someone like Trey Williams.
Gotcha. So I think looking around the rest of the team, obviously we're still aboard the Ethan Morton train.
Oh,
and yeah. I wanted to point this out because I mentioned this on Twitter, and there was someone in our mentions who was basically saying that Ethan Morton was trash, and his guy scored more than him in the game, so he lost.
That is some advanced metrics.
Yeah, and I was like, that is not really how basketball works. And somebody, of course, came in and was like, no, man, his plus minus was great. And he's like, show me where it was. So people showed him he was like, somebody said, I think he was like plus 18. And of course they were wrong because he was plus 24 in that NC State game. So they showed him that and then he tried to change the subject. So I had you look up his plus minus today. And I think you told me he was plus 9.
Plus 9 on this game. Yeah.
Yeah. And what was Sasha? You said he was our number one.
Plus 31.
Okay, see, that's incredible.
Yeah.
So you take that, but I mean, obviously, we both agree that Ethan Morton is a positive on this team. He was 1 for 1 from three. That was his only shot of the game. Also was 1 for 2 from the line. Dished out 3 assists, grabbed 1 rebound. So I think both him and Gillis, and of course Edie, but Gillis as well, were positives off the bench. Gillis was 4 for 4 from the line, grabbed 4 rebounds and got an assist. No turnovers. But I mean, it's beginning to get concerning to me that both Brandon Newman and Eric Hunter Jr. are continuing to struggle so greatly on the offensive end. Newman was 0 for 4 from 3. Eric Hunter Jr. 0 for 2 from 3. Hunter was 0 for 3 from the field overall. Neither finished with any points. Eric Hunter Jr. had 18 minutes. Newman had 10. I'm sorry, Newman had 1 point. He made a free throw. But, I mean, that's 28 minutes right there from two-year guards, and you wind up with 1 point. And that's just not great. And they've struggled in this last stretch of games. Hunter had those few good minutes against NC State. But overall, they don't seem to be giving us what we need. And that's a little concerning to me because, as you say, guard play in March is how you win.
Yeah, if there's – you know, Morton played 19 minutes again this game. We're seeing his role expand. And we usually see – there's usually one on a Coach Painter team. There's usually one guy who surprises and becomes way more of the rotation than we expected or was in it to start the year. And one guy who kind of picks up those minutes and gets into the rotation more than you would expect. Morton looks to be the person that is catching on in the rotation. And Brandon Newman is falling out. He only played 11 minutes, had 5 fouls in those 11 minutes.
Oh, yeah. I failed to even mention that he fouled out.
And yeah, missed all 4 of his 3-point shots. He had better looks today. So that's encouraging because that NC State game, not only did he miss his shots, he just took really bad shots, which is not a combo you want. And it's getting a little concerning. It's the offense doesn't look the same when he's out there as it does with Sasha or Morton or even Thompson at times.
Yeah, I'd say even Thompson, yeah.
It's just he doesn't look that comfortable. He doesn't seem to know where to attack. What he does best seems to be a mystery to him. So it's getting concerning to the point where, you know, he played 11 minutes tonight, and I'm not sure that's not what we're going to have going forward.
Yeah. So one last thing on this game before we take a break. You mentioned in the last pod that you thought this could be Purdue's get-right game. Do you think this was sufficient enough for you to be considered a get-right game for Purdue?
Absolutely. We shot 50% from three. We only turned the ball over 10 times. Edie got going. Ivy got going from three. Stefanovic had a good game. Trey had a good game. Thompson, 2 big threes, looked aggressive, getting to his shots, and first jump back. I don't know what more we could wanted. Obviously, Newman was the one disappointment, but we will live with that. You know,
yeah.
One guy not going off, that's fine.
Yeah, and you hold your opponent to 48 points. Yeah, you'll take that every day. So I agree. Great performance for Purdue. So enough about Butler. We're going to take a break, and we're going to finish up the podcast looking at Monday's opponent, Incarnate Word. We'll be right back.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com. Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com. Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
For nearly four decades, J&K Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started J&K Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. J&K Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
And we are back. We're going to talk about Purdue's next game, which is coming up on Monday, which hopefully you are listening to this on Monday, December 20th. They are taking on the Incarnate Word Cardinals. You may recognize their head coach if you are a longtime Purdue basketball fan. That is going to be Dr. Carson Cunningham, who's now been with the program since 2018. They are not doing so great this year, currently sit at 2-9 in the Southland Conference. And Casey, this is something I've never seen on a team's schedule when I go and look at their record and see who they've played on ESPN. They have two opponents where you can't even click on their name because there's apparently no information on them.
Ooh.
So that is going to be Concordia, Texas, who they lost
to. Pretty sure that's
to.
Just a city. Yeah. They might have taken on the city.
Yeah, the whole city. They lost 82-78. You can't even click on them to see more information.
And they lost to them.
And they lost to them.
They are also not on KenPom.
And then this is the best one to me. This was a win. They won 93-66.
Such a good name.
But they played Our Lady of the Lake.
I think that won an Oscar.
No. No, you're thinking of The Shape of Water, maybe?
Same thing.
But Our Lady of the Lake, that's something out of Arthurian legend, isn't it?
Are you trying to make me sound dumb because I don't know?
I think it is. Wasn't the lady of Lake held the sword?
I thought a
it's
stone
tough to say. There's
held
a lot
the
going
sword.
On. I think you might be thinking of the Disney version. With, you know, the Merlin and he turned him into a bird and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's you're thinking of literally the sword and the stone.
Correct.
But regardless.
Is that not historically accurate?
I don't think it's historically accurate.
My life is a lie.
But regardless.
Who's your favorite doctor?
Seuss, maybe? What are we going with here?
Oh. I was going to say Doctor Who.
Oh, see, I don't watch Doctor Who.
Oh, you would like Doctor Who.
I have nothing against Doctor Who. I've just never watched it. Never gotten into it.
I'm just saying you would like it. You like campy.
I do. So, but we've got Dr. Carson Cunningham on the sidelines for Incarnate
Not
Word.
Your favorite doctor?
I mean, he's fine.
What if he would have taken the Purdue assistant head coaching job that Painter offered him this offseason?
I think it would have been a good move for him career-wise, but maybe that's not what he's looking for. You know, I was telling Casey during the break that if you go and look on their Incarnate Word website and go to the staff, you know, they highlight, of course, what they've done as a team and their contributions to the conference and what they've done. But then you look at one section, it's talking about how much community service they do and how they did during the pandemic with community service and where they volunteer. And it's very admirable, but it's just kind of out of sorts with what you expect when you're used to Big Ten basketball and you're only talking about coaching of the year awards, how many player of the years you've had. Have you had many people drafted, titles, conference tournaments, you know, things like that. And here they've got quite a lot of ink on volunteer work. So it's just a different world there in the Southland, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, not everyone's priorities have to be the W. Sometimes you're just trying to catch a win with the big guy up in the sky, you know?
There you go.
Undefeated
so Casey,
against God.
I know. Moving on.
With God.
I know you've watched just a smidgen of highlights.
Oh, yeah. Internet
Word, because really, that's probably all we need. Is there anything you can tell me?
No.
All right.
They're not
well,
very good. So it's weird. They're not good, but they also haven't been like blown out in the way I would expect. Like, I've seen Incarnate Word play because we've played them in the, you know, previous past, not that long ago. And I've covered some games with them.
The previous past? Is that different than the future past?
Yeah. I just saw Spider-Man, so I'm all about that timeline.
Nope, no spoilers. Don't even talk about it.
So, the game I was watching was a neutral floor game against Texas Tech. You would expect they lost by a a whole lot to Texas Tech, right?
Yeah, I would imagine.
They only lost by 22. They played Baylor earlier in the year. They put 60 points on Baylor. That's like three times what Villanova did.
Right.
So they're not good. None of their advanced metrics are good. They don't shoot the ball particularly well. They definitely don't defend well. They're not a good team, but somehow they score a decent amount of points. So
yeah, can't take that away from them.
They shoot a lot of threes. I think that's what it is.
What is their – do you have any idea what their percentage is? You have that number in front of you?
Like what they shoot?
Yes.
32%. Not great.
Okay. I mean, not terrible. That's better than what Rutgers was going into our game, right?
Correct. They're 213th in the nation, so not great, but they shoot a lot of them. They shoot like 35% of their shots are threes.
That seems high.
It's like 100th most in the country. So it's a lot, but not like a crazy amount of lot. I don't know why. They are projected to lose like every game for the rest of the season besides.
Oh my gosh.
Houston Baptist, they're supposed to win, and then.
Houston Baptist. Purdue had a guy who transferred there back in the mid-2000s, and I'm so angry I cannot think of which player that is. Continue your rant. I'm going to Google it.
It's not much of a rant. They're just – I don't think they're very good, and it's not – you know, we were – if the Butler game wasn't a get-right game, this game will definitely be a get-right game, one where hopefully, you know, we can go to the bench pretty early. And be a nice little Christmas present for all Boilermaker fans.
So, no, during your talk there, I did not find which Purdue transfer wound up at Houston Baptist. But I'm sure someone listening to this will remember, and they'll tell us. Or else I'll remember in the meantime and post it when I post the story tomorrow. But, okay, so it sounds like Incarnate Word is not really someone we need to be too terribly worried about. Is that correct?
No worry. Of the worries, there are none.
Okay. I like games with no worries.
99.98% KenPom percentage to win.
That seems pretty good.
That's high.
Yeah. Does that ever go to 100? I assume no.
Incarnate Word has 100% win percentage against Trinity, Texas on December the 30th.
It's wild. I don't know how you can possibly go to 100. That seems...
It might be because Trinity, Texas is not in KenPom.
Ah, there you go. That could be. So... I figured out the transfer to Houston Baptist. Do you want to know who it was?
Hit me with it.
Gordon Watt.
Oh, I read that name. I thought it sounded vaguely familiar.
So there we go. Gordon Watt transferred from Purdue to Houston Baptist. Averaged 16.4 points per game for them in 2007-08. So he had some success. But the only other thing I want to say about this Incarnate Word game, as my wife dances in front of me to try to distract me, is that I will be in attendance at the game tomorrow. The first game back in Mackey in about, 8-9 years, maybe more.
It's been that long, Levin?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a while.
You've been to Lafayette. What?
Well, yeah, what's but it wasn't what hasn't necessarily been during basketball season or when the team has been at home. So when they announced the sale for tickets for this game, they put them on sale for $5. My brother bought a few extras so him and his whole family could go. And since he has season tickets, they have two extra. So my mom and I are going to the game tomorrow.
So just by happenstance, your brother didn't actually think about you while spending $5 for tickets.
Yeah, he didn't buy these intentionally for me. He's not that nice. He bought tickets for himself, his wife, and his two sons, and then obviously they want to sit together. So because of that, then they have the season tickets that they normally use that he split with my dad. So now we're using those tickets tomorrow.
I see. Well, at least you know you'll get to go see a victory. Are the students out of town? Probably out of
town?
Yes, they are not
there for the game, so no paint crew. And that's one reason they put the tickets on sale. You know, they want a sellout when the students aren't going to be there. That's why they always schedule these weird out-of-conference games with terrible opponents, because they don't want to have an opportunity for a crazy upset when the paint crew isn't there.
That entirely checks out.
Yeah, so... I have nothing else on this game because it should be a bit of a blowout. It will be interesting to me to see Carson Cunningham as the coach on the other sideline. I know obviously this is the reason why Purdue scheduled this game. I know Painter does this with a lot of his former teammates or former players who get coaching gigs. You know, they'll throw him a bye game, so they'll come in and often get embarrassed, but you know, it's good for the program. They get a little cash and hopefully learn from it and get a play at a big place like Mackey. And it's good for a lot of those smaller schools. They get something out of it. So it's good. I like to see that.
Will we score 100 points for the first time this year?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
You heard it here. Ledman has no support.
Yep, that's right. Belief. No faith. No faith. So I'm really looking forward to be back in Mackey tomorrow. It should be a great game just because I think Purdue is going to score a lot of points. Probably not 100, but it'll be fun to see. And can't wait to be back. Casey, anything else about Incarnate Word before we sign off?
I'm tapped out.
All right. Well, for Casey and myself, thank you for listening. Make sure to rate, review, hammer that subscribe button. And we will chat with you next week, folks. Boiler up.